Bell of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Can you explain who he is? He was recently speaking at the Republican Attorney General's Association, the group you're talking about, Raga.
That's right. We recently posted a transcript of his comments at that event. And what we know about him is that he is one of the most notorious climate skeptics or climate change deniers. He works for a group that has been funded by Exxon and the Koch brothers for many years, Exxon to the tune of millions of dollars. And so he advances. He's one of the merchants of doubt, as the book famously said. He's one of the guys who basically is determined to sow seeds of doubt and try to throw every obstacle he can in the way of necessary efforts to address the climate changes that are underway.
Lisa Graves, thanks so much for being with us, Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy and publisher of PRWatch.org and Exposed by CND.org. She is featured in Ava DuVernay's new documentary that's just being released on Friday by Netflix called 13th. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Sam Alkoff, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Trina Nadura, Andre Lewis, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, Paul Huckabee, our engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Miriam Barnard, Hugh Grant, David Crude, Ariel Boone. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is KBOO Portland. Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. Coming up on More Talk Radio, Celeste Carey and Cecil Prescott host a debate on Oregon Ballot Measure 97, the Oregon Business Tax Increase Initiative. Speaking for Measure 97 will be Seamus Linsky, the Executive Director of the Oregon Consumer League. And speaking against Measure 97 is Ryan Deckert, President of the Oregon Business Association. Next on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of AFFECT, a community event about the work, culture, and design of social change. The conference will take place October 7th and 8th at the Ziba Auditorium in Portland. AFFECT will feature talks from Spawn on Me creator and podcaster Khalif Adams, Ferguson activist and social impact designer Dee Nichols, Nadia Gathers from Code 2040, and many more. Again, that's AFFECT. October 7th and 8th at the Ziba Auditorium, 810 Northwest Marshall Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi, this is Joanne Hardesty from Voices from the Edge. This Thursday on Voices from the Edge, I will be interviewing Kathy Janelle Kiesner. She is a Marshallese port and climate justice activist. We'll be discussing issues around climate justice, racism, and activism. Please join me this Thursday at 8 a.m. on Voices from the Edge.
This last Monday, the old mole hour at 9 a.m. on KBOO interviewed Teresa Rayford on police violence and the reluctance to investigate white racist vigilantism and attacks on black citizens. The interview was interrupted by continued technical problems. The interview will be replayed this coming Monday at 9 a.m. on the old mole.
On KBOO, 90.7 in Portland and throughout the region. We are continuing our conversation, our education on voters to be able to know what to vote for and how to vote. This morning, we are continuing this process of education by having a discussion debate about Oregon ballot measure number 97. Joining us this morning is Seamus Blyonsky, who is the executive director of the Oregon Consumer League, and Ryan Deckert, president of Oregon Business Association. Seamus will speak in favor of Measure 97, and Ryan will speak in opposition to 97. We will like you to listen, and if you have questions or comments, please give us a call at 503-231-8187. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We're going to begin with Seamus, who will speak in favor of the measure. Following that, Ryan will give his thoughts in opposition. And we'll try to keep this a dialogue and hopefully an ability to shed light and not heat on this important issue. So good morning, Seamus, and why don't you begin telling us why you are in favor of this measure and tell us what the measure will do.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sure. Again, my name is Seamus Olinsky. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Consumer League. And the Oregon Consumer League has been working in Oregon since the late 1960s to educate consumers, to hold businesses to ethical and responsible business practices, and also to promote consumer protection legislation down in the legislature. And so the Consumer League got involved in this because you know, it's one of the biggest measures we're facing this fall. And when you look at the situation, Oregon ranks dead last in corporate taxes in the country. There are a couple measures of this. It's the Independent Anderson Economic Group and Ernst & Young. And they both put Oregon dead last year after year. That's behind Washington, Idaho, California. It's even lower than states like Mississippi and Alabama. So this means hundreds of corporations pay no state taxes at all some years. And, you know, individual small businesses pay, but the large corporations don't. And this has big consequences for Oregon. And that's why we got involved. We have one of the worst graduation rates in the country. We have close to 300,000 Oregonians that still don't have health coverage. That's about the size of Eugene and Bend combined. So that's, you know, that's unacceptable. We have 1 in 10 seniors in Oregon who are living in poverty currently. And the senior population is expected to double in the next 15 years. So, you know, when you think about that, we don't have the resources to help our seniors get the services they need. So how did this happen? How did we get here? How did we become dead last? It's because these large now state corporations like Comcast and Shell have lobbyists who lowered their clients' bills to almost nothing. To give you sort of perspective, in the mid-70s, corporations paid about just under 20 cents for every tax dollar collected in the state of Oregon. Last year, that was less than 7 cents. So that's how much the corporate share has shrunk over the years. So Measure 97 is going to finally hold these big and out-of-state corporations accountable. It's going to require them to pay their fair share. It's, in spite of what the opposition says, it is a very simple tax measure. It takes the current tax code, which is a gross receipts tax for corporations, and it's tiered currently. And what Measure 97 is it just takes the top tier. Actually, it gets rid of the top three tiers and just says anyone making over $25 million, it'll increase the minimum corporate tax by 2.5% on the amount above $25 million. So it's nothing new. It's just a new rate on that very highest level. And also it has Section 3, which directs the fund to education, healthcare, and senior services. So when this measure passes, that will be written into the law.
Okay, so, okay, Raymond. Yeah. Seamus, you're trying to keep the discussion going. You've spoken about 3 minutes. Why don't you conclude, and then we'll have Ryan also share his thoughts.
Sure. I just want to prepare folks I'm sure folks have started to see the opposition ads because they're all over they're all over television and the radio, and that's because they've raised millions and millions of dollars from groups like Wells Fargo, who just committed a massive consumer fraud, from Comcast, who already owes over $120 million in taxes, BP, large insurance companies. So when they're saying all these scary things, remember that's who's saying these scary things. And so, just in conclusion, I'm the father of 2 school-age children. I've been on the PTA. I volunteer in their classrooms. I see what the lack of funds is doing in our classroom firsthand. I'm a consumer advocate. I work with a lot of seniors, and I see firsthand how seniors are having to make tough choices between groceries, medications, and rent. So I just want to reiterate, It's simple tax. It's the current tax law. It just increases it on those large out-of-state corporations, and it directs it to those three areas we need. We also did a price study, which I can talk about in more detail during the Q&A or during the rebuttal.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Seamus. Seamus Lansky, who is the executive director of Oregon Consumer League, speaking in favor of Measure 97, which will increase the corporate tax minimum tax for a C corporation with more than $25 million in Oregon sales. We also have with us Ryan Deckert, who is the president of the Oregon Business Association. And Mr. Deckert, we'll give you about 3.5-4 minutes to share your opening thoughts.
Great. Good morning. Can you hear me fine?
Yes. Thank you.
So, thanks for taking the time on this important issue, and certainly good to be with you and have a discussion and, as you said, enlightening debate or discussion. I completely and we completely agree that this is a simply written tax measure. So it's not hard to discern what is going on with this tax measure. And listening to the lead-in from Seamus and the proponents throughout, talk about big out-of-state corporations is they wrote the wrong measure. They wrote a measure, and all folks have to do is just, it's very easy to read. It's one page and about 1.5 pages. And what you'll find in the first line and 7 times in the first 2 paragraphs is a tax on Oregon sales. And so we've done taxes, we've increased corporate profits taxes twice in the last decade. I serve in the state Senate. We did it once there where we increased the profits tax. And if you want to go after corporations and go after the profits, you increase the corporate profit tax. Unfortunately, what the proponents did with this is, and it's very clear, it's a tax on Oregon sales, and it's just right there in black and white in the initiative in the first 3 paragraphs, you find it 7 times. You won't find the word corporate profit at all. There's been 3 major economic studies done on this. It's a $6.2 billion tax increase, so it's over 30% increase in revenue. That's obviously the largest tax increase in Oregon history. We're pretty confident now it's per capita the largest tax increase ever considered anywhere in America in one fell swoop. But that's no reason to vote no in and of itself. The real reason to vote no and to consider a no vote is the effect it will have on Oregon families. So as I mentioned, there's been 3 major economic studies done on Measure 97. First, we obviously did one, the folks advocating a no vote. But we were glad to just set that aside, or happy to, because we knew the state, the unbiased, nonpartisan Legislative Revenue Office, the state economists were going to perform their own comprehensive study, and these are trained economists to do a comprehensive study on Measure 97. And then the Seamus's group, the Yes on 97, we also knew they were contracting and paying $30,000 to the Portland State University School of Economics and the former state economist, Dr. Tom Petowski. What all 3 of those say, so we're happy, frankly, we'll take the proponents' study that they paid $30,000 to commission, because they all say the same thing, which is, on average, this will cost Oregon families $600. But they also point out
$600 per annum?
Yeah, per year. Okay. So over $600 is the average family of what they'll pay. It also points out in the Legislative Revenue Office's study how incredibly, incredibly regressive this tax is, because we know all consumption taxes tend to be. Obviously, they hit those that are living on the margins, that are working the hardest, those middle-class families and folks struggling. They tend to hit them the hardest because they're consuming and buying things. And this, unlike just about every state, and including European societies with their VAT tax, doesn't exempt out the basic commodities. So there's a couple states that don't do it in the South, but most states that have either the gross receipts that Seamus talked about or 45 states that have a sales tax, they tend to exempt out the basic commodities of life like milk, bread, utilities. Think gas, the things that all folks have to buy. And so that's where when you look at the State Economist study, it shows that a single mom making $23,000 a year, I mean, she is just right on the margins, just paycheck to paycheck, if that, and we have an affordable housing crisis that we all know about. And
okay, Brian, Oregon, if you could wrap it up.
It'll cost her $312. And I would ask the proponents, I'd ask your listeners, do they have that? Do they have $312 to give the $6.2 billion blank check to the Oregon legislature to spend? And you can't, it's a blank check. You cannot direct, legislative council's been really clear on that. You cannot bind the future governors and legislators. They can do whatever they want with the money.
Okay, Ryan. Thank you. Thank you. We're speaking this morning on KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. We're speaking this morning with proponents and opponents of Ballot Measure 97. Ballot Measure 97 will be voted on by Oregon voters this November. It will raise corporate minimum tax for a C corporation with more than $25 million in Oregon sales. In favor of this motion, ballot measure is Seamus Lyinsky, the executive director of Oregon Consumer League, and in opposition is Ryan Dickert, president of the Oregon Business Association. You may have thoughts or questions for these two gentlemen, so give us a call at 503-231-8187. Okay, Seamus, a lot of things was just said by Ryan Dickert. I'll give you about 2 minutes to for rebuttal.
Sure, thanks. A lot of the things that Ryan said are very familiar. They're so familiar, we have literally a book of these quotes, because corporations have been using these same scare tactics for years anytime that they're asked to be held accountable. So let's go through these. He says, you know, it says sales a million times in the measure. Well, that's because the current tax code has the word sales in it that many times. The new language simply says that C corporations making more than $25 million in taxes will be charged 2.5% on the excess over $25 million. So we didn't add the word sales anywhere. That's just the current tax code. So they like to make it seem really confusing, like this is some sort of new tax. It isn't. He quotes a couple of studies, and the thing that they don't say about those studies are, and the authors of those studies will say this, they did not model Measure 97. Measure 97 is laser-focused on C corporations making over $25 million. Now, Paul Warner's the author of the Legislative Revenue Office study. You can call him. You can ask him. He'll say he couldn't model that. So he had to model a tax across all sales and across all types of corporations. And in that model, they got the results that Ryan referred to. But that's not what this does. So we firmly believe that those numbers don't really translate. As far as where the money goes, when this passes, it will be law. And currently, just so you know, 80% of the general fund goes to education, healthcare, and senior services. That's where the state needs it most. We are $2 billion shy of meeting the quality education model. The Oregon Health Authority is over $1 billion behind in trying to cover the folks on the Oregon Health Plan in the expanded Affordable Health Care Act and to provide needed mental health coverage. And, like I said, our senior population is going to double. We need those resources to meet the services of those seniors. So, it's not, you know, the stuff Mr. Deckard's saying isn't new, because corporations always said that. They said the same thing, you know, the scary $600. They said that with Measure 66 and 67 6 years ago, and that didn't come true. So it's just not true.
Okay, we have a caller online. I asked the caller to hold on for a few minutes until Mr. Dickert. If you have any comments from what Mr. Lyinsky said, give us about 2 minutes of your thoughts. We'll then take the caller, and then ask you to respond to the caller's questions or comments. So, Ryan, why about 2 minutes for you?
Well, sure. So the Legislative Revenue Office did a report on Measure 97. They produced a little box that shows what each family, so you can easily get this because it's online. It's a government agency and a little box that we refer to that does, and this is the official state economist numbers, shows that $600 per family, and it also shows by income level just how regressive and how unfair this is, this tax is, as it hits consumers, especially at the moderate and low-income levels. The other study that Seamus was mentioning was the PSU study that his campaign paid for. And because it was with a public agency, the Oregonian was able to get the emails of the campaign manager for 97 and the author of their study, where he not so politely says, stop talking to the press, because their author of the 97 study they commissioned said this is a sales tax on steroids. And that's why even the governor just a couple weeks ago said, Oregonians aren't stupid. Of course they know we're going to pay this as consumers. So this is new news that they're now disavowing the two official studies. One is their own that they paid for, and the other is the state economist study showing very vividly how this tax on Oregon sales ends up costing Oregon families a great deal of money and local companies. And that's why you hear folks like Powell's Bookstore and Tillamook Farms and others talking about how this is going to affect these homegrown businesses and their ability to stay in business. As Emily Powell's been really clear, I don't know how I make it and stay in business with Measure 97.
So let me ask you, you mentioned the governor. Has the governor taken a position on this ballot measure? Because it sounds, well, Ryan?
Yeah, she supports it and came out in favor of it. We just also noted that she said in a radio interview about 2 weeks ago that, yes, Oregonians aren't stupid. I totally agree. And that they're going to quickly understand how much this costs them as consumers.
But the governor came out in favor of it, but I was confused by the way you made that statement. Okay, let's go to our callers. And Steve, do you have a question or comment? And can you keep it short and direct it to one of our guests this morning?
Yeah, for the proponent of Measure 97, you know, I'm concerned we live in a one-party state, and the biggest winner, I would assume, from this would be the public employee unions, which, you know, I think exercise an inordinate amount of influence over public policy. I want to see more transparency. And then the concern is that, you know, if we're giving a blank check to the legislature, you know, using schools as an example, already we're having below 50% graduation rates, and then we're going to reward the system that has produced these results. I just want to see accountability and transparency in terms of how much the public employee unions will benefit on this. And again, I'm very discouraged that we don't have a viable opposition in our one party state. I would ask the proponent to address the union's benefits and its influence throughout the legislature, and specifically on the status quo for our public education system.
Okay, thank you very much. Seamus, could you respond to his concerns about transparency and the role and influence of public unions?
Sure. Well, I would say the biggest beneficiaries of this measure are going to be all Oregonians. Now, the caller says that we'd be rewarding poor performance by passing this, but I would argue that it's not poor performance, it's lack of resources. Since 1990, when Measure 5 passed, we have completely divested in our education system. It doesn't matter how good you are. If you're a teacher in a classroom with 35 to 40 students, there's no way you can pay attention to those students. So it's not lack of skill or lack of trying, it's lack of resources. And as far as who's going to benefit from this, when passed, will allow us to hire 8,000 teachers. It'll allow us to double the number of home health care workers. Those are good family wage jobs, a lot of that is our union jobs. And yes, there are unions backing this measure, but there are a lot of people backing this measure. It's the PTA. It's nurses. It's firefighters. It's consumer advocates. It's the Main Street Alliance of Small Businesses. So this is a large coalition of people who take care of Oregonians every day and have for decades, whereas on the opposition, you're getting millions of dollars from the likes of Comcast and Wells Fargo and Shell Oil. All of a sudden, those large corporations that are dumping millions of out-of-state dollars to fight this are concerned about Oregon consumers. That's just laughable.
Okay.
I mean, why would they be doing that if they thought they could just pass these costs along? They can't. They know they're going to have to pay this. It's laughable because the last couple of times they've been asked to come to the table to address the real need in this state for revenue, the only thing they've suggested, and Ryan can confirm this, is either a sales tax or a gas tax. Taxes directly on consumers. And now that this is something that's going to hold them accountable, remember, this measure is only going to affect about 1,000 companies doing business in Oregon. That's less than 1%. It's a quarter of 1%. It is large and out-of-state companies, by and large. 82% of the companies affected by this are already headquartered out-of-state. So, I mean, I think I've more than answered.
Okay, yeah, yes. I'm going to give Ryan a minute and a half to respond. I want the two of you to think of questions that you might have for the others, and I'm sure you know, both of you are familiar with your opposition's argument. So think of a question you would pose to the other person, and let's see if you two can get in the conversation. Ryan, I'll give you a minute to respond to anything that Seamus just said. We'll give it, let Eric, our caller, in, and then we'll have the two of you ask questions of one another. So let's go to Ryan for about a minute and a half.
Sure, thanks. I won't even take a minute and a half. Just the idea that somehow, somewhere, they have found the most incredible tax ever discovered, that $6.2 billion, largest in history and per capita anywhere, is just going to descend on Oregon, and no one has to pay it. No one, it's this, I mean, no state has found this, no, you know, European society that has the value added, which is functions like this as a gross receipts tax that Seamus mentioned as a gross receipts tax. That's why you can't find a reputable economist. That's why the governor and everyone agrees that this is going to be paid for by consumers. And this is my inaugural run opposing a tax increase. I passed a law when I was in corporate profit tax increase when I chaired the Senate State Senate Finance Committee. I have three daughters that attend the public schools. I was out Friday in downtown Portland as we're studying the cityscape. So the idea that this is folks far, far away, we know that the fact this is going to have, as the state economist said, 38,000 jobs lost. Those tend to be those middle, hardworking Oregonians that are going to lose their jobs. And the fact that this is going to have on Oregon families and consumers is really troubling to me as a parent. And what motivated me to run for the legislature was funding of core services like education and higher education. And so we just want folks to really look hard at this measure, because what we find is talking about the need is one thing, and you can find agreement there. Talking about this measure and what's in it is a whole nother ball game, and that's what we're voting on here in a few weeks.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Before we go to our caller, Eric, I think we can all agree, perhaps, that we want the best for our communities. The challenge is, how do we get there? So, Eric, what are your thoughts?
So my thoughts are, isn't the all this shortfall for government services caused by the public employee retirement system, PERS? Because we can't address that problem, you have to raise more taxes. And I'm not for corporations or anything, but it seems like you have to make them out to be the bad guys and extract more taxes from somebody. And they're, you know, doing it on the corporations. I was for supporting pretty much all government programs, but it seems like the government can't solve their own problems, and they hide the big problem of underfunded mandates? Public employee retirement systems, not just, you know, with Oregon, but, you know, all over. And that can't be addressed. So I think, you know, politicians are either hiding that fact because, you know, they're part of the system. Anyway, that's my question is, why can't they address that problem before raising more taxes?
So let's go to Ryan first, who was in the legislature and dealt with PERVs. How do you respond to those concerns that our caller raised?
Yeah, that's an excellent. I mean, I think that's an excellent question, and it goes really to this blank check that that the proponents are asking for, which is that $6.2 billion to hand over to a lot of my former colleagues. They are wonderful people, but have not dealt with one of the second most expensive retirement system in America, which is driving a lot of the challenges we have as a society, and certainly here in Oregon, because we're 23rd. In per student funding for K through 12, according to the National Education Association, which is the, you know, national teachers union. If you go to their website, they rank every state in terms of per pupil funding of education. But we're not getting, I totally agree with Shane, we're not getting the 23rd best result in terms of length of school year, in terms of class size. And so where's the money going? And I think that's your caller obviously has found one big source of the challenge. And that's why I'm on the line with you this morning talking about how do you solve real Oregon problems and fund some of these critical services that we all depend on. But certainly the idea that we've created this exotic new tax that no one has ever found, that all the economists say hits our families right in the pocketbook, and then just hands the money over to folks to do with what they want. And there is no way to bind future legislatures. There's no way to tell a future governor how she or he might form their budget. I just think this is incredibly, incredibly dangerous. And we wish the proponents would have worked through the legislative process or done something differently than give us this take it or leave it initiative, which I think as folks lean into this, that's why 49 out of 50 editorial boards across the state of Oregon who've taken a look at it have all come in and said, vote no on 97. It's just not good tax policy.
Seamus, why hasn't corporations been able to work in the legislative process to come to agreement?
That's a good question. They love having the discussion. They love saying, let's come to the table. They love say, let's talk about this. But when they talk about it, all they come up with is sales tax or some other direct consumer tax. Again, I just want to, you know, make sure, you know, make this clear. All the states have public retirement systems. Mm-hmm. Oregon's not unique in that. If you're quibbling about efficiencies or the need in schools, you just haven't been in a classroom lately. There's no amount of cutting the fat that's going to fill that $2 billion quality education model hole. There just isn't. Why go after these corporations? Because we are paying our fair share. Individual small businesses pay already a very high percentage in taxes, right? And corporations just aren't. Like I said, in the 70s, they were paying close to 20%. Today, they're paying less than 7 cents, or 7%. So, you know, you asked us if we were going to ask a question mm-hmm. of the other side.
Go ahead.
I would ask, Ryan, so is it fair that corporations have reduced their tax burden by that much? And if not Measure 97, then what specifically? Not, hey, let's come to the table and talk some more. What exactly is that the corporate lobby recommending to fill these major holes in our budgets?
Okay. Ryan, would you like to respond to that now?
Do you want me to? I'd be happy to.
Yes.
Well, first, Seamus said you haven't been in a classroom, and no one I was there Friday, so I don't know how. I mean, I was just with a group of third graders from from Raleigh Hills on Friday, so I certainly know I mean, I feel like I have firsthand of what's happening in Oregon classrooms, or at least as of Friday of last week. There are ways, and obviously, and I can name one, which is we have raised the corporate profits tax in Oregon. We've done it twice in the last decade. That is a way that you will get that economic consensus again of who pays corporate profits tax. That's on profits, not on sales, and the corporation. So I certainly know a lot about that because you're right. When I was chair of the finance committee, we passed an increase in the corporate profits tax and agreed to another one that was done legislatively as part of a big package. And I think that's the key is in the legislative process, you look at the spending side, you look at things that we could do better to get better results for taxpayers and for families here in Oregon. And you look at, just like any family would do, just like any small business, any restaurant, any church or nonprofit, they look at everything when they're trying to make their budget and say, what could we do a little less of over here? Are we out of whack in terms of this? Oh, we want to get more money, so how can we do that? And that's the way you absolutely should do tax policy. And the proponents have already three times publicly said, oh, we made a mistake with our initiative, and we'll fix it later. Please vote yes, and we'll fix it later. In fact, last February, in the short session of the legislature, because this has really devastating impacts on the software industry here in Oregon, and they were down trying to fix a prospective ballot measure, their ballot measure 97, that hadn't even qualified for the ballot, and the legislature wouldn't let them. But they were trying to take the software industry out, prospectively, out of measure 97, because they knew they had written, and they can't turn it around because it's an initiative, so you can't change it. And they were trying to change it already, and they've said that three times now publicly, that we'll fix it, just please vote yes, and we'll fix all the flaws in our ballot measure. And that's the problem with this is, you've got the cart before the horse. You've got all the revenue with a flawed plan that hits Oregon consumers and no plan of how to actually spend the money.
Seamus, do you want to respond to the statement Ryan made about the proponents' inability to first their recognitions of flaws in the proposed initiative and their response to that?
Sure. I've never heard of what he's talking about exceptions for software companies. That mm-hmm. sounds weird to me. I don't know how many software companies in Oregon are C corporations making over $25 million in Oregon sales.
I can clarify that.
Sound,
I'm happy to clarify.
Like it makes any sense. Also, I haven't heard anybody saying just pass it and we'll fix it. And as far as having a plan goes, there is a plan. Section 3 directs it to education, healthcare, and senior services. And there are very detailed plans already for the education budget, for the Oregon Health Authority budget, for senior services. Oregon has model senior care, but unfortunately, like I said, our senior population is about to double, and we don't have the resources to really expand it to the great need we have in this state. So, I mean, yeah.
Okay. Ryan, did you want to clarify something? LJ is on the line, but if you can do it briefly, that would be great.
Well, just Oregon tax policy is that if I'm a software company, we obviously have had a lot of growth, which has been great for our families here in Oregon and software companies here. Any sale I make, and this is Nexus, it's the definition of any sale I make. So if I sell my software to Massachusetts, Florida, and Germany, but it's headquartered here in Oregon, the sale is accounted to my Oregon sales.
No,
so
that's
that
true.
That is the Oregon tax policy, and that is what the proponents were trying to change that definition of Nexus in the February session to get those sales not attributable to an Oregon company, because Measure 97 written brings all those sales to that Oregon company and they have to pay. And that's why you see the technology and software industry, which is never opposed, similar to me, never opposed some of these taxes. They are vociferously opposed because, as they point out, how can we stay in business in Oregon with the current law and Measure 97? It just taxes us right out of existence. And so that's current law.
Okay, Seamus?
I got it. Yeah, so that's nothing new. That's a quirk in Oregon tax policy. I mean, we're getting pretty in the weeds and wonky here, but that's a problem that software companies have been experiencing for years here. It's something they're trying
not
to fix.
Not true.
Outside of
not until you pass Measure 97. It's that when you put a 2.5 is when the problem. There's been no push to fix to change that because we hadn't had Measure 97. This is the new factor, is passing Measure 97 and what it would do to the software industry, which the governor has even publicly said, we need to fix that.
Okay, let's go.
On records publicly saying that would be a problem with Measure 97 that would need to be fixed.
This is a great conversation. I love reading tax policy, but let's see what LJ has to say. Good morning,
well,
LJ.
Good morning. Hi, and thank you so much for the conversation, finally. I've been watching the TV ads that the No on 97 committee has been airing, and I feel like I'm being bamboozled. It seems to me that what the No on 97 people are trying to convey is that 97 would be a sales tax. And in truth and in fact, it's not a sales tax. It's a tax on sales, all right? And I was sitting on the fence prior to watching 97's advertisements, and now I've made up my mind that I'm obviously going to vote yes on 97 because I really feel that you're being disingenuous, Ryan. And, Ryan, I do have a book I'd like to recommend for you to read. It's called Lies Incorporated, The World of Postwar Truth in Politics. And please, Ryan, don't insult my intelligence and stop playing word games with me and people like me. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay, Ryan, you have the opportunity to convince LJ.
Well, good luck. Good luck to me on that. LJ, I probably can't convince you, and I'm sorry that the political ads, just nationally and here in Oregon, and with ballot measures, we wish the ballot measure wasn't on the ballot, and you didn't have to see any of these ads. Would be our first goal, but I would recommend you to the nonpartisan, non-biased Legislative Revenue Office to get good information on how this is going to affect Oregon families. Because I think, and it is, they put one box on their research, and it's on the top, on the front page, and it's page 14, too, of their report on this, and it shows how it's going to vividly affect Oregon families. And it starts with, you know, the very top family and how much they would pay, and goes through income category to, you know, $50,000 to a family making or a person, individual making $30,000. And it shows just two boxes over, this is what the increase is on that family. And that's my question to Seamus. I mean, this is the nonpartisan legislative report on Measure 97. And how is it equitable to ask folks making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year just trying to make ends meet to pay these cost increases that even the legislature and their own economists say this is obviously a sales tax on steroids? That's just not fair, and that's not good tax policy.
Okay, Seamus, I've heard a lot about the LRO and their report. What is your response to Ryan's question?
Sure. Two things. So he keeps mentioning the Legislative Revenue Office report and then the PSU study that the Yes on 97 campaign paid for. And they love quoting him saying, it's a sales tax on steroids. He was talking about general gross receipts taxes in general. He wasn't talking about Measure 97. Yes. And he's clarified that. So it's they like to confuse folks and quote that because, gosh, it sounds really damning. But he wasn't talking about Measure 97. And he's made that clear. Also, Paul Warner is the author of the Legislative Revenue Office report, and he will tell you, he'll tell anybody who asks him, that he did not model Measure 97 either. He modeled a lower percentage spread across all industries and all sales amounts. And that's how they came up with those boxes of, you know, this is how much it would cost. Our group did a study. We looked at the types of corporations that would actually be affected by this, large C corporations making over $25 million. And again, 82% of them are companies headquartered out of state like Kroger, who owns Meijer. And those types of corporations have national or zone pricing. They don't base their pricing on what they're paying in taxes. So if you look at what something costs at a Fred Meijer, you'll see that costs at Fred Meijer in Washington, Idaho, and Oregon, all of which have different taxes, are the same. If you go online and look at Walmart's prices, you'll see that the prices in North Dakota, which has the highest corporate taxes in the country, are the same as they are here in Oregon, which has the lowest corporate taxes. So these large C corporations that are affected by Measure 97 don't do their pricing that way.
You're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. I am Cecil Prescott. We are having a discussion about Oregon Ballot Measure 97, which is a corporate minimum tax for C corporations with more than $25 million in Oregon sales. Speaking in favor of this ballot initiative is Seamus Lyonsky, Executive Director of Oregon Consumer League, and in opposition speaking is Ryan Deckert, President of Oregon Business Association. You may join our conversation by giving us a call at 503-231-8187. And Barth is on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning. This is a wonderful conversation, and I think it's being conducted civilly, which I want to applaud both participants for. I believe what we're talking about here is a $25 million gross sales amount for a taxable base, and that the corporations that make that, you keep saying, are mostly out-of-state corporations. I wonder if Ryan probably, but anyone can comment on the amount of profit generally in $25 million of Oregon sales that's generated by these large corporations. And how that would affect their bottom line, and whether the amount is painful, to be polite, in terms of their revenue receipts. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Bart. Ryan, can you address his question?
Sure, Cecil. I'll try. And thanks for the, Cecil, you're doing a nice job of, I agree, keeping this enlightening and civil, which are kind of the Oregon tradition of how do we debate these. So states derive income in three main categories. Obviously, Oregon's an income tax-based state. So we have a high income, third highest in the nation, which actually makes us one of the top five progressive states, where we ask those at the very top to pay the highest percentage because we rely on our income tax. We have a pretty moderate kind of middle-of-the-road property tax that most every state in America has. And then the third big bucket of income for any state or revenue is consumption-based taxes. And most states have the sales tax. 45 have a sales tax. Two have a gross receipts. We would be the third, as Seamus mentioned, that would join that gross receipts group. And then one state, Ohio, has a commercial activity tax. All of these consumption taxes, whether it be, and then European, obviously, they do the VAT, the value-added tax. All of these taxes are paid for by us as consumers and small businesses, any of the consumption taxes. And so the proponents are trying to me, this is the most frustrating part of this whole campaign, is convince folks and convince their own economists or the state economists that somehow, some way, $6.2 billion just descends into Oregon and none of us have to pay it. And that's why you see so many of our small business leaders and companies and consumers and working families coming out against Measure 97 because the hit that this would have on Oregon families and small businesses, I mean, the legislature report says that it's 38,000 jobs that are immediate, January 1st, get their pink slips. But the hit that this would have on families and small businesses who have to pay utility bills, and that's a great example right there, is utilities, because they're monopoly, so we don't have a choice. When we, you know, get a utility bill, it's not like we can shop around. We get our bill. It's regulated by the PUC, and state law says that all taxes are passed through. So they just basically take the taxes and pass them through, obviously, without any demarcation at all onto our bills, our utility bills. And rising utility bills on seniors, on those on a fixed income, on Oregon families, is just, it's not good tax policy. And that's why I think the more people learn and lean into Measure 97, the more folks are coming out against it.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. Seamus, I heard this argument this morning about waving a magic wand and trying to convince people that the money is coming from nowhere and will have a really devastating impact on Oregon residents. How do you respond to that and counter the argument?
Sure. It's not a magic wand. These corporations that are affected by this are making billions nationally. And if you look at, as we have, the cost of living index in each state, and then you compare that to the taxes in each state. So you have a graph that shows, you know, Oregon at the bottom here in corporate taxes and North Dakota at the top, and there's like a slope with all the states in increasing corporate taxes, right? If corporations based their prices on what they were paying in those corporate taxes, then you would see that the cost of living index would match that slope, right? Things would be the cheapest here in Oregon, and they'd be the most expensive in North Dakota. And that's just not how it works. These large corporations have to absorb these costs, and they spread them out, and then their pricing is national or zone based on things like transportation costs or you know, wages or whatever. So it's that's how it's not magical or ghost or appears overnight. It's spread through these humongous corporations. 50% of this money is going to be coming from just a few very large corporations. And, you know, Ryan said Oregon has an income tax, which is progressive because it taxes the larger earners at a higher rate. But it's only progressive until you're balancing the entire budget on that. It becomes regressive at that point. And this tax proposal is progressive because it's only taxing these C corporations that are making over $25 million, and it's only on the amount above $25 million. And the whole, the report doesn't say anything about 38,000 jobs disappearing on the first day. That's just not what it says. It says that growth will slow over time, and they estimate that amount. It also says the public sector jobs will grow. So it's not all of a sudden a bunch of jobs are lost. They're saying that these large corporations will slow their growth, but there still will be a growth in the economy.
You're listening to KBOO More Talk Radio. This is a discussion about ballot measure 97, which Oregonians will vote on this fall election. We have a few minutes left. If you have a question about this proposal, please give us a call at 503-231-8187. And we'll speak to Victoria. Good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Okay. In our household, we just say this all goes back to Measure 5, which was a constitutional amendment passed in 1990. And everybody said, oh, this will be great. Our property taxes will go down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What they didn't look at was what a wonderful reduction in property taxes developed for major corporate owners in the state. So that's really what we need to go back to. is figuring out what were the true impacts of Measure 5. My understanding is a lot of the reductions in funding came about because Measure 5 constitutionally limited the amount of property tax, and then a subsequent measure limited assessments so that they could not increase by more than 3% a year. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous when you look at the housing situation that's going on right now in Portland. People are raking it in because of a high demand for housing, and there's no way at the moment that the state or local jurisdictions can capture any of that income. So that's where I think the legislature has been remiss. They haven't looked at the real impacts of Measure 5 and said, wait a minute, folks, we had unforeseen consequences here, and deal with it. You know, come up with something else.
Victoria?
Yeah.
Let's see if you have made a point that our guests can agree on. What has been the true impact on Measure 5? And, you know, for many of our listeners, that's maybe even before they were born.
Yes.
Ryan or Seamus? Ryan, you go first.
Okay, I'm going to get off the horn here.
Okay,
Ryan, go first.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Victoria, there's a lot of truth in what I was a student at U of O when Measure 5 passed, and then she's right, 47 kind of set that assessment level. So two major changes in our property tax structure. And there has been distortive impacts of it. We looked at a graph or a chart that showed two just individual residential properties in the same city, in this case Portland, same basic property taxed ridiculous. I think one was like at $6,000. The other was taxed at $2,000. Basically, the same property, just in two different zip codes, taxed ridiculously differently. And that's the distortion that I think Victoria speaks to. That's an important debate to have. We're really miffed that Measure 97, because the proponents said this would fix Measure 5. This is a gross receipts tax on organ sales that affects basically those same families and hits their pocketbook. Some talk about distortive, where you have a family of four making a couple $100,000, paying $900 to $1,000 in increased cost, and like a single mom making $21,000, or a family making $21,000, and their increase is $312. And that's why all consumption taxes tend to be regressive and hit those that are moderate and low income the hardest. The problem is they also didn't exempt out. So they doubled down on, I think, a big mistake in terms of consumption taxes by not exempting out utilities. And how a utility could not, I mean, but gas, food, milk, medicine.
Oh, no. We're almost at the end of our show. Ryan, I don't mean to interrupt you, but if you can say 30 seconds on where people might go for information, and if you had six words to say why they should vote against this measure, why would it be?
Let me see if this is six, Cecil.
Okay.
Because how it'll affect them. How it'll affect them. And please go to the state. Go to the legislative revenue. Go to the state economist and get out of the ads and the back and forth, and just go to the state and see how this will affect your family.
Hey, thank you so much. Okay, you had a few more seconds to think about it. What are the six words from you, Seamus, about why people should vote for this?
Who do you trust? Corporations or how many words do I have left?
You already went seven, but that's okay.
Of people who are working to help Oregonians.
And where should people go for information?
They can go to voteyes on 97.org.
Thank you so much. Thank you, too, for joining us this morning. We've been speaking with Seamus, what's your last name, Seamus?
It's Linsky.
Oh, okay. from the Oregon Consumers League?
Oregon Consumer League, yep.
Okay, and Ryan Deckert from the Oregon Business Association? And they have been speaking about ballot measure 97. Oregonian researched very well, and then remember to mail in your ballots. I'm sorry for our last caller. We just ran out of time, but we hope that you will continue to be informed. My name is Cecil Prescott, and for the sick Celeste Carey today, I hope you get better soon and join us as you continue to be informed. Stay tuned to more information and news on your community radio station, KBOO.
KBOO Portland, good morning. It's 8:58. The Old Mole Variety Hour is coming up next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Social Justice Action Center Open House, Tuesday, October 4th, beginning at 5:30 p.m. at 400 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. Rents in Portland are rising, and long-term grassroots institutions are being forced out. But the Social Justice Action Center is bucking that trend. The Social Justice Action Center will be sharing their model for grassroots organizing in the heart of Portland, especially by and for marginalized communities and organizers of color. There will also be information on getting involved with the center, a silent auction, music, and much more. Again, that's the Social Justice Action Center Open House, Tuesday, October 4th, starting at 5:30 p.m. at 400 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information may be found at KBOO.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Friends of Noise Benefit Show on Sunday, October 16th at 5:30 p.m. at Mississippi Studios in Portland. Friends of Noise formed to create more opportunities for youth to produce, perform, and gather at all-ages music shows and raise awareness for the need of an all-ages venue. Performing at this benefit will be Explode Into Colors, Vampire, and Hugo Berlin. Again, that's Friends of Noise Benefit Show, Sunday, October 16th at 5:30 p.m. at Mississippi Studios, 3939 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at KBOO.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I wish I was a mole in the ground. Yes, I wish I was a mole in the ground.